This is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Money.
Hope everybody's having a good Wednesday.
I am. I love Wednesday. Get you over that hump.
It does. It's hump day.
That's the origin. Yeah. We'll get into Max Pack a little bit later and a new bit that just started last night that kind of had a tear coming out of my eye of laughter.
Oh, yeah. Is that what made you laugh? Yeah, really? Okay. Sure. I can't wait to get to it. I think it's going to be fun, and it's going to change drastically every week, just so you know.
I do love the fact that the Royals finally won in New York last night. It felt so damn good, man. I hate that place. I hate that team. I understand why my dad and my grandparents all were like, the Yankees are just the evil empire. Rest in peace to Darth Vader, James Earl Jones. We talked about that yesterday. But again, it feels great because I don't know. I think they had lost, 14 straight in the Bronx or something?
Yeah, 14 in a row, and not a lot of the games were, you know, close or anything like that. They were kind of nondescript games. But last night, we've talked about Seth Lugo all season long, mm-hmm. and we'll talk to the skipper about him in about 2 hours here on the show. But, my God, I can't recall a pitching performance. I don't want to say it was, Giordano-like in Game 6 type mm-hmm. of performance. But by God, that was as good as you can get as a pitcher that we've seen in, I don't know, maybe since the Greinke 09 season, a regular season start. That was as big and as good as you could have asked for. And I think last night, in my opinion, based on last night, again, we have these things that, you know, change in our minds. He's got to be your opening night starter in the postseason, right? And you come back with Cole Reagans in game two. I think that's kind of the strategy that you set up with because – look, game one is going to be tough no matter who you play, where you play, when you play him. Say you lose game one, then you come back with Cole Reagans in game two. You're feeling really good about going to a game three if you got Cole Reagans kind of as your stopper in game two. So that's kind of how I'd set it up. But I think Lugo has earned it. I mean, that guy has been in the Cy Young conversation all year. He has been considered for an all-star starter in the game this past July. And he's never wavered, Dusty. Never wavered. He had one bad outing here or there, but he's bounced back and he's done amazing things like we saw last night. And imagine that start last night, because that was a postseason type of stage. It's the Bronx. It's September, right?
Yeah.
I know not a lot of people were there last night, but again, it's a Tuesday night. Nobody's going to the ballpark then. That's why we don't need games on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but I digress. But he stepped up big and pitched big and didn't let the moment consume him. And I think that's important. Going into the playoffs, I think you want a veteran guy starting that first game. And I think last night, in my opinion anyway, mm-hmm. Lugo wrapped up the opportunity to be that number one starter in that first wild card game.
Well, hold your breath, because the other guy goes again tonight.
I know.
Against that lineup, which only had 3 hits and 7 innings off of Lugo, who had 10 strikeouts, 0 walks. What I would consider basically the best year pitching performance has looked from a standpoint all year. Bubich went in there, threw a shutout, and struck out 2. And then Schreiber went in there, threw a shutout, and struck out 2. 0 walks last night against the Yankees, who lead the MLB, by the way, in home runs and walks. And they did their job. And Bobby Witt, once again, had a, couple of times where he shined. This time it was with an RBI and a base hit. He also has defense, and as we get closer to the end of the season, the MVP race will continue to be neck and neck. And I think it's interesting because obviously a lot of people today's world will look at the MVP and say, well, look at Judge's numbers. Well, let's time out. Let's look at Bobby Witt's numbers. And not only that, you have to look at the importance, and you have to look at what the acronym is of MVP, the most valuable player. And if you think we're homers in Kansas City talking about, the nerds on MLB Network had a discussion about it last night before the game started, and they're going to continue to have this discussion between Judge and Bobby Witt, and I really do think the MVP race is closer than you think.
If you're putting together a baseball team just for this year,
mm-hmm.
and you are given everything that Aaron Judge does and everything Bobby Witt does and everything Francisco Lindor does and everything Shohei Ohtani does, and you then could have any of it and then build the rest around it, who would you take
mm-hmm.
if you were doing, starting 2 teams, a National League team and an American League team? And I actually asked that question.
I did, and I answered I'd like to have both players, but you said you only can pick one. So, honestly, I'd take the shortstop. I think they're just more pivotal to the day-in and day-out win.
And then can I just say, then, doesn't that make them more valuable? If we're actually deciding who's the most valuable player, and you're saying if I could play a whole season with a guy who plays both sides of the ball in every facet, or a strictly DH and a guy who's playing center. By the way, give him credit for playing center field. Allows Soto to play right, but does it probably below average. Which would you take? I think this is a more open argument for MVP in both leagues because we're watching historic seasons, especially by Otani offensively, and Judge looked like he was going to get 60 for a while, and we've just conceded it. And I'm not sure if you think about true value that it should be conceded.
I mean, for me, it's really, really close. I do think you're right, Joe. I think Aaron playing center field is different than Otani just DHing. But Bobby Witt's ability to change games defensively and change games with his legs, I think, is a separator. I mean, Aaron's offensive numbers are by far better in the aggregate. But I think when you factor in the ability to impact winning a game night in and night out, Bobby can do that on the nights he doesn't perform offensively. Aaron cannot.
So again, Bobby Witt Jr. does more, in my opinion, and is more valuable to the Royals' success than maybe Aaron Judge is, according to what they just discussed, to the Yankees' success. Now, again, I know Aaron Judge is putting up gigantic numbers in the other slash department, but Bobby Witt Jr. has not missed a game, plays every day at shortstop, except for one he did DH, and he has the average. Again, last night, Tommy Pham gets on, Bobby Witt knocks him in. He's got a guy now that can lead off. He's shown that all season long, if he had a guy that can lead off, he can knock him in. Bobby Witt Jr. has 30 home runs, 30 doubles, 30 stolen bases, 100 RBI. The guy's an absolute stud, and he is, in my opinion, if you take away the pitching, he is the most valuable player to this team. Lugo and Reagans cancel each other out because they're both Cy Young candidates, which is insane. And not only that, but what Bobby Witt Jr. does when it comes to speed. The other night, Sal Perez hits that little blooper over the first base side. Bobby Witt goes from first to home and scores. Not many people can do that. That's value. That's a run. And I know you can look at their F war and Judge is 9.7 and Bobby Witt's is 9.6, whatever it may be. But when you have this debate, I think it is a lot closer than people think when it comes to the MVP race, that it's not just a slam dunk Aaron Judge. Granted, he plays in New York, but if they go out there tonight and they play and Bobby Witt Jr.'s 3-for-4 with a home run and 2 RBI and Aaron Judge goes 0-for-3 with a golden sombrero, 0-for-4 with a golden sombrero, you have to take account of that too, because Bobby Witt Jr. leads in hits, runs. I mean, he's just, in my opinion, where he plays and how he plays all around, five-tool-wise, I think Bobby Witt Jr. should be a little bit more regarded as the MVP than Aaron Judge. And yes, I am biased 100%. He is probably my favorite baseball player in the league, plays in the town that I do Kansas City Sports Radio in. But again, I think it's not as much of a slam dunk that some people would say, and the nerds of MLB Network support your boy.
Well, I really don't have much to add to that other than, why did it take Bobby Witt having to play in September in New York for people to wake up to realize how good Bobby Witt Jr. is? Isn't that really sad? Like, why weren't these conversations truly taking place all year long? Why did people just wake up this morning and go, you know what, Bobby Witt's playing in New York, we better talk about how great an MVP candidate he is? This has been a guy who's been consistent since the day the season started to where we are now. Aaron Judge missed the entire month of April, hitting 167, and at the end of April, there were Yankee fans calling for him to be traded. Then he picked it up, and now he's, you know, on a great pace, and he's doing amazing things and, you know, putting up the numbers and whatnot. But this is the problem with Major League Baseball. We're talking about Patrick Mahomes as an MVP candidate in his first start in the NFL at a soccer stadium in San Diego, California. And in Major League Baseball, people are waking up on September 9th and going, have you seen this kid in Kansas City, this Bobby Witt? He's a pretty good baseball player. That's the problem that we have with baseball, and that's the problem that the Royals are always going to have to overcome, or any other team, not in New York or LA. You're battling so much, and people get like wedded to their idea of what they believe, and a lot of times, Dusty, they don't allow the facts to go out there and speak because they've already made up their mind and they're not willing to let their mind be changed. And I think that's kind of where we are right now in this Aaron Judge, Bobby Witt thing. I think every race that we see for the next couple of months when it comes to this kind of stuff is going to be very, very close, regardless of what people say. Like, you can look at the Cy Young Award, right? Why can't Cole Reagans be a candidate? Why can't Lugo be a candidate? Oh, because Skubal is going to win the Triple Crown in the Cy Young in pitching. And if he does that, he's going to be a runaway winner with the Cy Young Award, even though it should be a lot closer, because Skubal's team, why they've come on at the end, Lugo's been pitching great since day one. Reagans has been pitching great since day one. But people get their minds made up and they're not willing to let facts change their mind and sway them one way or the other. To me, Bobby Witt Jr. is a five-tool player, okay? Aaron Judge is not, and that's not a knock against Aaron Judge. That's who he is, as a human being, as a baseball player, right? He doesn't have the speed that Bobby Witt does. He obviously hits for power, hits for average. Bobby Witt does all that. But Bobby Witt is able to make plays on defense that Aaron Judge is not. A lot of it does lend itself to the position, obviously, that Bobby plays compared to what Aaron Judge is doing right now. But you're not going to be able to get over, in my opinion, that New York hump. Like, this needs to be starting the campaign for Bobby Witt Jr. to win the MVP next year. And people need to start to realize right now how good Bobby is. And that's why I keep saying all along, it'd be nice for the Royals to get into the postseason. It's more important for Bobby Witt to get into the postseason and be on that postseason stage than it is for the Royals. Because if he goes into October and plays well, and the Royals win that first round, and they get some wins under their belt, people start to notice him even more, that's what's going to carry him into next season. And then all offseason, people will be talking about Bobby Witt being the runaway favorite for MVP. Establish that in the offseason, carry that into the regular season, and then he can win the MVP that way. It sucks to say that, but that's just the reality of it, I think, right now with this Aaron Judge, Bobby Witt thing. Bobby should win, but people have already had their minds made up that Aaron Judge is your MVP.
Aaron Judge may win MVP, but he won't win the Triple Crown because Bobby Witt Jr. will have the better batting average. So take that and stick it in your pipe and
smoke it. Imagine that, though, coming up just short of the Triple Crown by batting average. MVP, leading home runs. Like, that's a hell of a scene. It's not taking anything away from Aaron Judge at all, but it's just going to show you how hard that is to overcome, especially in baseball.
Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Mac Morier, executive producer, comes back with the other side on Max Pack on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Back in on Fesco and Dusty, 96.5 The Fan, your home for KC Sports. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. Don't forget, you can go over to our X page at The Fan 965. Stop it.
I can't help it. You make me laugh.
You know, part of my goals in life is to just make people smile and laugh and feel good.
That's what I was
put on this earth by the Lord to do. You can vote yes or no. It's that simple. Should the NFL and the NCAA have games at 8 o'clock and 9:30 in the morning? We bring that up because Matt Rhule rules.
It's up to me. We play at 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, kegs and eggs and football. Let's go.
No doubt about
it. Actually, it is up to him. He's the head coach. They make their schedules in college. Schedule that 9 a.m. game, Matt.
Brule's rules. I don't know if you get that reference, but Dr. Steve Brule does rule. Right now, the poll votes are in as of 7:20 in the morning Central Time. No is leading 71.2% over yes at 28.8.
What is the reasoning to vote no in this poll?
913-586-7965. Hey, Mac, let's get into your pack.
It's time for Max Pack.
Oh, yeah. It's time.
Another good intro.
Brioche, yeah, let's go.
I'm glad I can't see you from the waist down.
I saw some brioche buns at Hy-Vee yesterday. Ooh. I almost got them, but I went with the King's Hawaiian.
The King Hawaiian brioche.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, Hy-Vee's got a great Hy-Vee brand King's Hawaiian hamburger bun that is fantastic.
Okay, fantastic. I know where I'm going after this. Got to stop by Hy-Vee. All right, week two of Max Pack. Now, remember, this is not just a normal power rankings. We are choosing, or I am choosing, the top five teams based on the chances to actually hoist a Lombardi trophy, win the Super Bowl at the end of the year.
Okay,
so first week's rankings, let's go through those real quick just so you can get an idea of what's changed, all right? Before week one, I said Chiefs 1, Texans 2, Packers 3, Ravens 4, Rams 5. And this week I will have, we'll start at 5. Keeping the Rams at 5. Keeping them there. I thought they looked fantastic even without Puka Nacua. I've got some worries about some injuries that they've suffered on the offensive line. But overall, I still think Stafford, McVay, Kupp and company can get things done. I think that's going to be an elite offense. Number 5. Number 4, kept them out of the top 5 last week. I got to put them in. They made the NFC Championship game last year. Their team looks full on both sides. Give me the Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm.
I got to put them there. Got to respect them. Number 3, they're going to move up.
Obviously not enough. You only have them at 4.
Yeah. From 7 to 4, it's pretty good.
Big jump.
Going to move up from 4 to 3 this week. The Ravens, last week 4, this week number 3. I mean, they're a solid team, right? I mean, they've got Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP. Harbaugh's maybe the second-best coach in the league. I think the defense took a step down. I think we even saw that in week one against the Chiefs. And we'll see about that offensive line, too. Some question marks there. And number two, I kept them off of the week one max pack. I'm still off of them for the whole season, but I have to recognize real, right? And the 49ers absolutely destroyed the New York Jets on primetime football without their best player, without one of the best players in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, that right there, I don't, you know, it says a lot about the 49ers, obviously, but imagine how bad the Jets would have looked had Christian McCaffrey been on that
That's
team.
Exactly right.
And they would have probably put up 40.
I mean, they were right there. Yeah, and honestly, they kind of slowed
down.
They
settled for field goals and whatnot. Like, if Christian McCaffrey's on that team, I mean, there's more of a meltdown in New York that's already going on right now.
They kicked a field goal at, like, the 20-yard line on 4th-and-1. I mean, if McCaffrey's in the game, they're probably going for that, and they're getting another touchdown. They're up 20 points. But the 49ers, I mean, yeah, again, until they prove me right, I guess, because I am off of them for the whole season, until that implosion starts to ensue, I've got to have them in this top five. And then the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Number one. Chiefs, I think that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. I don't think anybody, for the first time maybe ever, would argue that the Chiefs aren't the best team in the NFL. Even Pete Prisco would not argue that the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL. Now, I didn't go through power rankings or anything like that this week, but I got to imagine nobody has Kansas City lower than one, right? And if you do, you're just a hater. It's pretty simple.
Click farming. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, if you don't have the Chiefs as the number one team in the NFL, you're doing it wrong.
Bait.
And then that's a bad opinion by you, and quite frankly, a wrong opinion by you. So he's got his max packs. I've got Bob's bottom feeders. And I'm doing this based on what I saw that week. I'm never going to remember who I picked next week for this week, or anything like that. It's going to be who I think are the five worst teams currently in the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. Coming in at number 32.
Cincinnati.
Your Carolina Panthers, baby. Your Carolina Panthers coming in at number 32. Oof. They are bad. Do they have their first round draft pick yet? Because they're going to need that one. They're going to need
that. That's a good question.
Thank you. They're going to need that. Coming in at number 31, the Giants. Daniel Jones, I don't know how you could get worse, but he did. And that performance against the Minnesota Vikings, just a mid team, right? They're nothing spectacular. They don't have a quarterback. They made Daniel Jones look like he'd never seen the field before. So the Giants come in at number 31. Number 30, I have your Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland Raiders coming in at number 30. As much as I like their coach, they don't have a quarterback. Until you get a quarterback, you can't win in this league. Gardner Minshew, not the answer. Number 29, Denver. I have at number 29. They look brutal over the weekend. I'm not a believer in Sean Payton. I hope he doesn't ruin Bo Nix's career. And then my final bottom feeder coming in at number 28, your Green Bay Packers.
Whoa. 28, Green Bay.
You're 0-1, and your next four games have Malik Willis under center.
Oh, he threw the ball five times against the Chiefs in his debut.
You're 0-1, and you have Malik Willis as your quarterback the next 4 weeks. Green Bay, you're renting that spot right now.
I mean,
wow. That's a hot take.
You ever met him?
It's not a hot take. Malik Willis is their quarterback for at least the next four games. There's a chance that Green Bay is looking at an 0-5 start to the season.
It's for your health. Okay, so I'll attack the pack first.
Love it.
I think they all kind of share the same thing, right? Trust in your quarterback to make sure everything's going to be all right. Mahomes, Purdy, Lamar, Goff, and Stafford.
Stafford, yep.
Two winning Super Bowl quarterbacks within that list. I think it's interesting that the two teams that probably took the biggest hit were the Niners and the Rams. The Rams losing Puka Nacua, but again, next guy up. You might see a lot of DeMarcus Robinson streams this week.
Yep.
I know that Taylor was also a big pickup in waiver wires this week. Again, that's fantasy related back
People
on Sunday.
People are picking up Taylor Swift now in the waiver wire?
That's right, dude.
Exactly right.
Wow.
The impact she has on a game is quite impressive.
It is. Like, if she sings the anthem, do you get, like, bonus points?
When is that going to happen, man? Make it happen.
When do you think they would do it? Looking at the home schedule this year, like the Black Friday game?
Sunday would be a perfect opportunity.
Sunday would
Everybody's
be really
watching.
Yeah, that's true.
But again, the Rams, I like Stafford. He looks like he's healthy. They have Kyron Williams as well. Cooper Kupp had 21 targets and caught it 14 times. So, I mean, like,
he looks like Kupp.
Yeah, it's the same recipe. And that kind of team, that team really kind of started to get back into itself last year once Stafford started to get healthy. So I like them there. The Lions, I think I think Jameis Williams has arrived.
Seriously, man. You didn't even mention him.
Yeah, I was high on him as like maybe a mid-round sleeper. In fantasy, he delivered right away. That speed that we remember not so long ago was the combine record until one Xavier Worthy decided to step into the combine. So I like the Lions. They've added more weapons. We didn't even really see the full Laporta rapport. Yeah, this past week. So once they get him going, they already have Amara St. Brown, Jared Goff, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jameis Williams. They could be a top three power team. Baltimore, obviously, they lose the toughest game of the year on the road. First game of the year, everything that's going on. I think they're fine there. I think Lamar's going to be okay. Isaiah Likely is a star emerging. Gives Mark Andrews kind of a step back role. We were asked earlier, do you take Isaiah Likely this week? Absolutely.
Yes.
You ride that hot hand.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. The guy's a ball. He's we talked to Tarik Johnson about it this week, and he's like, look, sometimes you just got to give the game respect to the game. Like Isaiah Likely was just a man amongst boys against that Chiefs team, and it was what it is.
And Baltimore being at number three for you, I mean, I look at a team that lost to the only team that I believe is better than them, right?
Exactly.
You know, like they're the only team that had the misfortune, if you will, of having to start their season on a Thursday night in Kansas City when the Chiefs are on this revenge, not even run it back tour, but this revenge tour that they're on. And so you had the misfortune of having to play them on opening night. That should no means whatsoever affect Baltimore. Now, if they don't build on that, if they let that affect them and they're 0-2, 0-3, then we have a different conversation. But losing to the Chiefs on opening night is not a bad loss at all for the Baltimore Ravens, as long as they're able to get and compartmentalize, and with a coach that's been there 17 years, I'm sure they will.
I think the interesting thing with San Francisco is some of the information that we were told yesterday with the severity of Christian McCaffrey's Achilles.
He may miss again now.
He has Achilles tendonitis. Yep. And
that's not good, folks.
It's Isaiah Likely that he won't play next week against the Vikings, which is where we can have a different discussion, as maybe Mac was also right with comeback player of the year being Sam Darnold.
Because maybe.
If Rodgers is terrible, like you thought he was, I thought he was okay.
Thought he was fine.
He put up Zach Wilson numbers, like Carney Wilson numbers.
And then their coach said this year's 0-1 start is better than last year's 1-0 start.
I didn't know
when you were going to bring that up, so I had to do it now.
I mean,
but I didn't know what to think of that.
I thought I was watching something satirical last night.
No, I didn't understand
it. No, he actually said that.
Yeah, it's a real saying.
No, he said
this
that.
This year's 0-1
start. 0-1 is better than we were 1. Huh?
I thought it was AI John Madden, and even he wouldn't say something like that.
I mean, that was just one of the more ridiculous things. Well, I feel better being 0-1 at this point in the season than I do at 1-0 last year.
Before the text line crushes us, we understand that he's referencing it because they still have Rodgers.
Right, but Rodgers was like 11 of 27 for 130-some yards. I mean, it was a Zach Wilson-type performance, a Caleb Williams-type of performance.
Yeah. And then... But yeah, Achilles tendonitis, we don't know what that means. Could miss 2 or 3, 4 weeks. Then could come back, aggravated again.
Yeah, that may be one of those lingering issues that happens all season long. That like we're talking about it in December. Issue.
Wouldn't you just sit him on IR and just say, you know what, this team's stacked. Let's get through the regular season. We'll see you in 2 months.
Well, you put it like that. That's 4 week
to your
IR,
crowd,
right?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, they don't care about your fantasy crowd, right?
Obviously. Like that, I'm talking in general.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like I know the fantasy people. I was reading a story about somebody. Like, I don't know if it was an NFL player or it was a college player they were talking to that, like, when he has a bad game, he wakes up and people have Venmo requests for money because they didn't play well.
Ask Tommy Pham about his fantasy team.
I mean, he'll punch a wall, right?
Or a human.
That too, yeah.
That's serious, dude.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I punched a man in the face.
Yeah, over the fantasy football team.
I love Tommy Pham, man.
I think he's been the addition that this team has needed all season long.
Hold on to that take. We got to get to it later. But
yeah, so anyway, that's not a bad, you know, top five. And I know like a lot of you are shying away from Green Bay on my bottom five list on that one. But I mean, what gives you any sort of confidence? You know who they have this week? They got Anthony Richardson and the Colts rolling into Lambeau with Malik Willis playing quarterback for them. Mm-hmm. That looks like an 0-2 type of start. Now, does Indianapolis get high on the hog? And, you know, they lost a game to the Texans. Everybody's loving them up. Anthony Richardson with the best throw. How do they use that and get better from it? That's where coaching comes into play. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry, Mac. I know this is your team, and Terry and Green Bay is probably pissed this morning, too. But I can't get behind the team that lost their starting quarterback, lost on opening night, and is now looking at 4 weeks with Malik Willis as their starting quarterback. That spells doom and disaster.
Texas says, don't respect the defense like that again. a man amongst boys. LOL, he caught check down passes all night. Well, he had one for 49 yards, and he almost had a game-winning touchdown. Yeah. But thank God Nick Bolton was there to push him out.
Likely, we're talking about?
That's what he said, yeah.
Hang on a second here. Yeah. Somebody's trying to run down that dude's performance from Thursday night?
That's right.
That dude went out there and balled his ass off.
Had a 49-yard catch. He averaged 12.3 yards per catch. Had 12 targets, caught 11 of them. Caught 9 of them, one of them for a touchdown as well. Almost had 2 touchdowns, 10 catches, and was a key factor.
He was so good. Dr. Textline weighing in from the 913. I've suffered from Achilles tendonitis for years. Run 5 feet, limp for the next week.
That's right.
Jeez.
I'm worried about it,
man. That's a bad injury.
I mean,
right?
I don't know if you got a lot of. And we can talk about this a little bit longer. And I know Bob says nobody cares about your fantasy team, but it's relevant. Like, I got texts from friends, from people, and DM'd on social media. I have the number one overall pick. It's obviously CMC, right?
Well, I mean, yes, before we knew about the injury, sure. Yeah.
I said, no, I would take Tyreek Hill or CeeDee Lamb or somebody like that. And they were like, really? And I was like, well, to be fair, McCaffrey's been out all preseason. He's been, you know, bench loaded to keep him healthy. And then now we're seeing more and more of this. And I know that it's the future or hindsight is 2020, but here's the exact reason why. Like, we had 2 years of McCaffrey kind of back in the swing of things, being healthy after the 2 straight years of missing out on the season. And then you saw his workload last year and what this team can do, which is why it's impressive against that Jets defense that maybe is not the same defense that we once knew.
You know, everybody gets older. The Jets defense, right, we've been told, has been good for the last couple of years. You know what's happened over those last couple of years? Everybody's gotten older. And when you get older, you don't play as good. So this isn't the Jets defense that was around 2 years ago that everybody was in love with. This is a Jets defense with a lot of the same players. It's 2 years older than where they were a year ago.
Right.
And when you're trying to overcome a 40-year-old quarterback tossing interceptions and 132 yards, it's tough.
Can I sell you on Malik Willis in 30 seconds?
You can try.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know that you're going to sell me on Malik Willis. I mean, his team drafted him and then took a mayonnaise eater instead of him.
They drafted him at a Liberty late in the draft. Came in super raw. It was supposed to take 3 seasons for him to be ready anyways.
Oh, okay. They took him because you don't have it.
Well, no,
isn't baseball. No.
They took him because he could make every throw and because he was one of the best athletes out of the draft. And that's still true to me. Like, this is supposed to take long for him to actually be ready. And now he's not behind the worst offensive line in football like the Tennessee Titans had, or maybe bottom two. He has an actual offensive-minded coach, not Mike Vrabel, who's going to say, hey, good luck, I've got defense. He's got an offensive-minded coach, and he's got weapons. Like, he's actually in a decent situation. Maybe there's hope. Maybe. 2 seasons with the Titans, a couple games. Like,
I mean, he has a little bit more of a weaponry in Green Bay, which isn't a word. Kind of like, my name's not Dusky. someone said that's my stage name. Hashtag Dusky over here. Look, he's got Jaden Reed. He's got Watson.
Yep.
You know.
He got who?
His juice
Watson,
all over the place.
Yes!
Yeah, juice all over the place.
Watson, yes!
But again, I think that.
Is Binkley in there just talking to you?
Mm-hmm. But I think that. You're not going to sell me 100% on him.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
Who was the last quarterback taken that late to be good in this league?
Purdy.
Yeah, Mr. Relevant.
Mr. Irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. Who's now very relevant.
Very relevant.
Now very relevant.
But before him, it was Tom Brady, right?
Probably. Dak Prescott's like a 4th rounder, I think.
I thought that was 3rd. Either way, what round was Willis taken in?
Let me double check. I thought it was 3rd, so it might be, yeah, you might be right.
But it's just like quarterbacks. The way it's always been, really, since Tom Brady, is like, you got to be a first rounder, man. Very few people that are drafted after the first round as quarterback in this league anymore. Now, look, I'm open to change. It could be better. Look, fine. Go do your thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you right now, you lose a quarterback in week 1. That is a blow to your organization.
Also, never take a big player that's on the cover of Madden, because we all know who's on the cover of Madden this year.
That's right. The Madden curse. Sure. That's right.
Well done, text line.
Well done from the text line. That's right. Totally forgot about that. My God.
The only one that's debunked, it's like Mahomes.
But he's debunked everything, right?
Right.
Like, you can't. Every time you talk about the NFL, you have to preface everything with saying, with the exception of Patrick Mahomes, comma, and then lead into, you know, whatever it is that you want to say, because he's debunked every myth about this league.
Speaking of myths in the league, Nick Sirianni now has the highest win percentage of any active NFL head coach. Sirianni has a 6.73 winning percentage. What do you think about that?
I think that's why we don't look at statistical analysis and say stats matter, because would you pick Nick Sirianni
right now? That means Malik Willis can actually be a decent quarterback.
Could be. Could be. Yeah,
I like this.
I am evil today.
I mean, but being drafted to me is not a stat. Using a winning percentage to justify that Nick Sirianni is the best coach garbage. In the NFL is a garbage set. Would you pick him right now as one of your top five coaches? If you're building a team in the NFL, would Nick Sirianni be top of mind for you to hire as a head coach?
Wouldn't make my top 10. You said top five. Wouldn't make the
top
10.
He would make your top 10.
Wouldn't make my top 10. No, wouldn't even be there.
No.
Text line, what do you think? Would Nick, and I'm sure here in Kansas City, nobody's going to take Nick Sirianni because he yells at the crowd like an ass. But that's why you look at like winning percentage.
So does Isaiah Likely.
Yeah, right. Has he been fined yet? Do we know? Does that come out today?
Come out today or tomorrow.
But I mean, if I'm looking at my top five, it's Reed, it's Tomlin, it's D'Amico, it's Sean McVay. Kevin O'Connell, I like. I'm falling more in love with the Matt Fleener lookalike up there in Minnesota.
Try to get you on the bandwagon early. KOC, baby.
And you know what I think it was for me that did it and put it over the top? I watched their preseason game where he was mic'd up and as a color commentator for the entire third quarter. And by God, that was like, this guy's great. The way that he was interacting with the broadcasters, acting like he was better than Tom Brady.
Whoa. Mm. Hot take.
I love it.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't.
And he was coaching a game at the time.
Yeah, that's
the
impressive.
Other thing, too, is if you hire Sirianni, you got to have his bodyguard, too. So you got to make room for Big Dom.
Yeah.
Boy, would he love Kansas City.
And also, too, think about that for a second. That team collapsed and I think won one game after Big Dom was booted off the sidelines.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me the security guy had that much, and they were talking about it in Philadelphia. He kept Nick Sirianni in line and did all the stuff behind the scenes. Like, they melted down after their security guard got banned from the sidelines.
Insecurity much.
Whew.
I'll never forget when Jalen Hurts had to like put Sirianni's hand down and tell him to shut up during the Super Bowl because he was trash talking.
That's right. McVay used to have a guy that would keep him back, but that's because he was too amped up.
All these guys do. There was a guy I saw, was it Saturday?
Jeff?
Or Sunday. It was one of those days. It was a football game, and there was one dude holding a coach back as he was losing his mind on the sidelines. Jeez. Damn, I can't remember who it was now.
I would love to have that job, to be honest with you. But speaking of a job, wings, breasts, thighs, and wings coming up on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey as well. He's the executive producer. If you missed Mac's pack, you can find it on our app using the Odyssey app. Go find Fesco and Dusty. Both of our beautiful faces are there for you to click on. You can go into that segment. We'll have Royals manager Matt Cotrero join us at 9. Talk a little bit more about that Yankees game, that matchup. We'll dive more into the Royals, obviously, a little bit later. Bob has his sources and a player that might interest you of note. So, any update from you on the Hollywood Brown situation for the Chiefs?
Yeah, there's a little bit of optimism that Hollywood Brown could play potentially this week. And I talked to somebody in the NFL that has an idea of what the hell's going on in this league. And they're saying they've kind of got their fingers crossed in Kansas City that Hollywood Brown may be somebody that could potentially pop on the scene this week. So we may get our first look at Hollywood Brown. I think that would be great. You know, add him into the offense and only have to miss a week would be best case scenario, obviously, to get him back for week two. But we'll have to see, as they say, how practice goes. If he's able to get out there and participate and do those things and feels healthy, then they'll get him out there against Cincinnati. But you know, I know from a coaching standpoint, they're going to be excited to get Hollywood Brown back. It gives you another weapon on offense. Not that you don't have enough already, but my God, add in another weapon. Damn, let's go with this offense. So I've got my fingers crossed. I know you got yours crossed. Mac, you got yours crossed as well. I want to see Hollywood Brown this weekend. I want to see him go out there and make his Chiefs debut and make a big time play for this offense and get this thing going, man, because I'm feeling like there's blood in the water. It's time to pounce on these Cincinnati Bengals and tear them up and spit them out. Hollywood Brown helps you with that.
Fingers crossed is like what percentage? Like 40?
I don't know.
Yeah, 40.
I got my fingers crossed. I think that's a little less than 50, maybe, you know, right? I don't know.
Would be nice. Do you think him coming back takes away from Worthy or Rice more?
Oh, I don't know. I think it just adds to the offense, in my opinion. And again, you're approaching it from that like that fantasy perspective, who to bench, mm-hmm. who to start. I look at it, how is this going to make the offense better? I don't care who it takes away from. If it makes this offense better, that's what I'm all about. And so if Patrick Mahomes has another weapon and you're forced to now go single coverage constantly on Travis Kelce or single coverage on Worthy or Rice or whatever the case may be, because Hollywood Brown's out there as well, I like it. It just makes the offense better. Maybe it opens up the running game a little bit more too. You guys are saying earlier the Bengals suck at stopping the run, right? So maybe this you try to run the football, obviously, with Isaiah Pacheco and Thor, and maybe Hollywood Brown helps you open that up, because now you got to respect Hollywood Brown, one less person to get in there and get his hand in the dirt and try to stop the run.
I remember when you took our son to Hooters for having a play date with his friend. And the two dads took the sons to Hooters. They came in reeking of cigarette smoke. I was like, did you guys sit in the smoking section? They were like, the whole place is the smoking section.
To be fair, we went on a dad and kid play date, right? And you know, sometimes when your kid's friends with a kid, and you the parents are like, all right, fine, I've got to hang out with the parent as well. It wasn't like my go-to like hangout, and it was solidified by the fact that he said, we're going to take the kids out to eat chicken wings. I said, sure. And he was driving, and then we pulled into Hooters.
Look, I don't have an issue with that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an issue with that? I mean, it's a fine establishment for wings.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I was growing up with Hooters, as we're talking about, you know, the establishment. It was considered like, I guess time evolves, but it was like when, you know, when dad would take us there. And I remember the one I used to go to, shout out old days, was on Nolan Road, right across from like what was a Best Buy and a Gone Baby Gone or something like that, where the corner.
Bye Bye Baby.
That is Bye Bye now.
I think they're done.
Best Buy, I don't even think it's there anymore. But the Hooters was there. And I remember every once in a while, my stepmom would have to work on a Saturday she was a vet tech for a place down in downtown KC. And my dad would be like, we're going to go watch some college football. And we would be like, okay, where are we going? He's like, we're going to Hooters.
Don't tell your mom.
And I was like, we're going where? We're going to Hooters? Shh. Sorry. Nowadays, man, you got places having like, you know, lingerie competitions. Hooters is very conservative.
Hooters is very tame, right?
But I think the thing that I remember most about Hooters is, as I got older, we had a buddy who would have watch parties for Chiefs games. This is back when the Chiefs played at noon all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
And my buddy's dad.
We call those the glory days.
That's right. My buddy's dad would send us to Hooters to pick up food because that was their, you know, that was their time. Like they were all then at the like late 40s, you know, whatever. They'd be like, boys, go pick up some Hooters and bring it back to the garage. We'll watch the Chiefs game. And that was big. We'd always get like the loaded tots.
Yeah.
You know, we'd sit there. We were old enough finally to be our dads and live like kind of vicariously through what they did in the 90s. We'd sit at the bar, have one of those big ice cold beers, wait for our order. They'd come up. Oh, what are you guys doing here today? We're like, oh, okay, we're, you know, one of Hooters girls. But I never really, I don't know if I remember eating their wings. I know that's what the thing was.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where Sid works on his 10-year plan from Big Daddy. The guy with the old balls. But yeah, that's, I don't know. Hooters is, are they still, they're still threatening?
Yeah, they're still doing
that. I know Twin Peaks is like the way to go nowadays. That's where everybody kind of goes and has their scenic
views. Twin Peaks has an amazing steak salad. I'm not kidding when I say that. Their food is fantastic.
Didn't think I'd hear that.
At Twin Peaks, right? And wow. I keep telling my wife, I'm like, we need to go to Twin Peaks. It's right down the street, right? And she's like, all right, whatever. but you know, you just never make it there. They got cold beer. It's great. But the Hooters thing to me is interesting because my friend Britt Haney took his mother there for Mother's Day one year. Mm-hmm. And he'll argue to this day, this is about 25 years ago now. Well, it was raining. They were supposed to go to a Royals game and it got rained out. So they decided Hooters was their second best option for mom on Mother's Day.
Hooters. I mean, I
don't know if you're a mom, like if you want your sons taking you to Hooters for Mother's Day, if that's a big win or if that ended up being a day for them. I still don't know the rest of that story. But Hooters became the place where we used to go on our baseball trip as well. Like one of the things we were going to do is find Hooters in every city. That was in the early 2000s. I don't know that we made it past 05 with trying to find every Hooters out there. But man, back in college, we used to drive in and go to that one on Metcalf. And I pound 50 wings myself. You wonder why I was 300 pounds. And
they
were back in
like
that shuttle.
Smaller though, right?
Well, they weren't like the peanut type wings. They were your normal wings, but they were breaded. you know, and really got a good breading on them. And then I can taste their sauce in my mouth right now. Like it's like that was kind of my introduction to wings. It was one of your first places out there. So I wonder what year this was, though, because they were talking about the smoking section. Unless you're in St. Joe, do people allow smoking anymore anywhere in this country?
I don't know. We always went out to eat with my grandmother, and she would always smoke, so we were just sat in it.
You had to, yeah.
It also didn't matter.
But it was also back in the day when that's what you did. But nowadays, like, no, my God. Maybe West Virginia or Arkansas. Mississippi, maybe.
Mm. Actually, I think I don't know. Mac, you taking mom to Hooters or Applebee's?
Applebee's.
Yeah, that's more of a spot for mom,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
exactly,
like it's more of a spot for mom, you know. But I think I don't have sons, so I've never taken my daughters to Hooters. They never asked to go there. But I think like if you're a father and you got your son, I don't know if that's a rite of passage or not.
Yeah, I feel like that'd be great. I mean,
right?
11 years old. Yeah, I feel like, let's go get some wings and maybe some breasts, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
My dad never took me to Hooters or a strip club.
Hooters.
And we had Bada Bing right down the street. I mean,
there you go. I remember Shoney's, man.
Shoney's was like for vacation for us because we didn't have Shoney's. You went on vacation, you got that Shoney's breakfast buffet and the French toast with the hot syrup that was sticky.
Not a better damn salad bar than Shoney's, man. I'd go in there and just eat a salad.
Is Shoney's completely closed now?
I hope not.
There was one on Start Bench Cut. Wasn't there?
Start Bench Cut. Shoney's. Fuddruckers what was the other one I was going to bring up? Shoney's, Fuddruckers, or Winstead's?
Starting Winstead's.
Cutting Winstead's. That place has gone so downhill.
It's the best burger here.
God, there's one left or two left. Maybe.
Two left. Went there last weekend.
Love right down the street.
Love terrible. Winstead's.
Fuddruckers, I'll start because as a kid, we were never allowed to eat at Fuddruckers because it was too expensive for a hamburger.
Fair.
I can't believe they're ripping you off for that. I was told. So Fuddruckers, I'm starting, benching Shoney's, and I'm cutting Winstead's.
God. Oh, here's another one you could do. Start, bench, cut. Shoney's, Fuddruckers, or Pizza Hut buffet.
A Pizza Hut buffet. 80s style Pizza Hut buffet.
Red cup. Ambiance.
That's a start.
Martha's coming out the cig, putting the new pepperoni slice under the tin.
Yeah,
Come on, man.
Pizza Hut buffet. So start. I don't even know who you said bench and cut. Shoney's and who else?
Pizza Hut buffet or Fuddruckers.
Fuddruckers. I would cut Fuddruckers in that one. I'm going Pizza Hut buffet all
Fuddruckers.
All
you get those jalapeno cheese fries and get a burger, and sometimes there'd be a certificate for a free sugar cookie underneath or a chocolate chip.
And then he did that Book It, man. That was the greatest scam by Pizza Hut they ever ran, man. Like, these kids in here for a free personal pan pizza, and then everybody's bringing the family. You used to wait 2 hours for this place.
Speaking of bringing the family, the Chiefs might be able to do that. We'll give you another update on that Hollywood Brown take that Bob had here on Fesco and Dusty. It is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The